This morning, if you have your Bibles, please open to the book of 1 Corinthians. We'll be in chapter 12 this morning. And do me a favor, as we work through the sermon this morning, just keep your finger in that spot or keep it open in your lap. I have done a lot of studying this week on the Holy Spirit, but I don't think anything can get more wise than the words of Scripture when it comes to the work of the Holy Spirit. So we'll be bouncing back and forth between it, and I want us all to be on the same page together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 4, we're going to work our way through verse 13. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by that same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between the spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Some of you may or may not know, Wayne's cracked a few jokes about it the last couple of weeks, but I did grow up in the Pentecost denomination, specifically the Assemblies of God. And it was a very much the churches I grew up in. My dad was a part-time music minister growing up. Churches were very similar to our church, with a couple of exceptions. You would have seen us in worship waving some things that looked like what the children had, maybe. We clapped a little bit more than we do here at Mountain Brook Baptist Church. And there was the thing about speaking in tongues. Now, when I bring this subject up, I can feel some of us get a little tense. We don't really know what to do with this passage sometimes when it talks about speaking in tongues. It makes us a little uncomfortable, maybe. But that was a normal part of my upbringing. It was a regular part of my environment. And as I think back, I can remember specifically the worship service that I was a part of, where I was having what I would even today describe as a deep spiritual moment with God. I was being prayed over by someone in our church, an older lady, and at the end of that worship service, I had someone come up to me and say, "Wow, Joel, you just experienced your baptism of the Holy Spirit." Now, I was saved at that time. I might actually disagree with that assessment as an older man, because I believe that the Holy Spirit baptism happens at the moment of conversion. But I'll tell you what, I am thankful for those moments that I had as a young child. I'm thankful for the older people in my church that were praying for me in that moment and the people that I had walking beside me on my faith journey. I'm even thankful today for the constant revelation that God brings to us as I now continue to learn more and more about the Holy Spirit today. You see, as a young man, I thought the power of the Holy Spirit was what allowed people to speak in tongues. What a simple view of the Holy Spirit's work. While the Spirit does bring gifts, the Spirit also plays a role in our conversion. The Spirit also plays a role in our sanctification. The Spirit also plays a role in our community. This morning, though, we are going to turn our attention to this idea that the Holy Spirit empowers us with different gifts, and how if we aren't careful, on the one hand, we can get uncomfortable with that topic and we can ignore the Spirit's work in our life altogether. But on the other hand, if we do acknowledge the power of the Spirit, we can ignore the Spirit and get a little prideful and be misled to think that these gifts are our own doing. I spent a lot of time on this gift. That's my gift. Because the letter to 1 Corinthians that Paul writes is a good reminder to us. This morning, we want to remember this fact that the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us with spiritual gifts for the good of others. It is the Holy Spirit that empowers us with gifts for the good of others. It's not hard to see why the Holy Spirit can cause some distress in us, the topic of the Holy Spirit. Even this week, as I was talking with some people in our hallways, I was thinking about how easy it would be for me to commit a bunch of heresy up here if my language is not precise. And while I think it's important for us to get the language precise, I think it's even more important for us to lean into the topic as a whole. So before we get into talking about the different gifts that the Holy Spirit provides for us and empowers us with, I want us to do a quick refresher on who it is that's giving us these gifts. The Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Theologians and pastors alike have tried over the years to help us to wrestle with the context of the power of the Holy Spirit, as well as the relationship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. This week I was reading a guy named Stanley Grenz, who wrote a book called Theology for the Community of God, and he talks about the Trinity as a community. So he calls the Trinity the community of God. You've got three persons, right? It's a community. And so he says that that community is one of love. And so this is just a different way of thinking about the Trinity for some of us maybe. But the Father's love causes him to create this world, you and I. The Son's love propels the Son to lay down his life so that you and I can experience the love that the Son enjoys with the Father. And then the Holy Spirit is God's residing power and love here on earth. Grenz kind of says it like this succinctly: the Holy Spirit is the power of God at work in the world, bringing to completion the divine program. The Holy Spirit is the power of God at work in the world, bringing to completion the divine program. And so before we talk about gifts, we have to acknowledge the Trinity and the work that is going on in the world. Did you notice our Trinitarian formula this morning in our passage? I didn't until I read a couple of commentators. Verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and everyone, it is the same God at work. Spirit, Lord, and God. There's the Trinity for you. And so as we think about the power of the Holy Spirit, right at the beginning of this passage where he's going to talk about these different gifts, Paul points out to us this wonderful paradox: unity in diversity. Different kinds of service, one Lord. Different kinds of gifts, one Spirit. Different kinds of working, but in all of them, it is God at work. That same wonderful paradox is at work in the Trinity. Three persons, one substance. Now, this is a pretty lofty topic for us at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, but I appreciate you walking with it through me, because I think that it's important if we want to understand the gifts, we need to attempt to understand the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is at work in the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is also at work, it stands to reason. If he is the power of God at work in the world, then the Holy Spirit has been the one walking with us through every bit of our faith journey, right? The Holy Spirit plays a role in our conversion. When we put our faith into Jesus, the Holy Spirit regenerates our soul so that we become adopted children of God. The Holy Spirit plays a role in our community. Even though you and I are different persons with different backgrounds, the Holy Spirit makes us one. The church is a body with different members, each of whom is important to the work that God is doing in the world. Have you ever thought about that? That you are important to the work that God is doing here on this earth. And we come to church not because we're here to check a box, not because that's what good Christians do, but because we are partners with God in the divine program. What a task. What a mission. Now, don't be scared of that. It can be a little stress-inducing to think I am the partner God has chose to help with this divine mission of bringing his kingdom to earth. But don't let it scare you. God didn't expect you to do this on your own. He has empowered us, rather, with his Holy Spirit, and he has given us gifts to accomplish that task. And this is nothing new. It's nothing new that the Spirit would empower us for some divine mission or task. We read about how the Spirit was upon Samson in the Old Testament, and he was empowered with a strength that was not of human nature. We read about Micah and the prophets and how the Spirit was upon them so that they would deliver holy messages to God's people. No matter what the job was, the Spirit's presence provided the recipient with resources necessary for completing the task that was given to them. And so now let's look back at our passage and take a look at verses 7 through 11 and the gifts that Paul writes about that the early church were probably seeing in their congregation. Let's start with verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between the spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So Paul mentions a variety of gifts, words of knowledge and wisdom, miraculous powers, prophecy, which we would call preaching today. I'm sure some of these are familiar to you. One of them is even faith, but some of them might be a little bit foreign to you. And I'm sure the one, as a former Pentecostal, you all want to hear my take on, is speaking in tongues. So let me give you my take. I think it's pretty obvious when we read the Bible that speaking in tongues was a regular part of the early church experience. In Acts alone, we get three different instances in Acts 2, 10, and 19 that tell us about people speaking in some sort of tongue. Also, I think Paul goes into detail in the rest of 1 Corinthians to talk about what does it mean to speak in tongues. He gives a little bit more detail. And so I don't think that this is some random thing that people are making up. I think that there is some proof in Scripture of speaking in tongues. Unfortunately, I don't have a whole semester to talk to you about this topic. I think it would take that plus some to learn about, to mine the depths of the Holy Spirit. But for your benefit, I want to talk about a certain group of people that believe that the gifts ceased with the apostles. There are people that think that the gifts that Paul lists in this passage are no longer available to you and I. Those people would be called cessationists. They believe that the gifts ceased with the apostles. And you'd be surprised to learn that there are many people that hold to that particular belief. A super simple explanation is that they believe that the gifts ceased. However, when I look at the Bible, I see nothing in it that explicitly points me towards this idea that you and I do not have access to the gifts that Paul mentions in this passage. In fact, the conclusion that I draw from reading Scripture is that the Bible, is that the Holy Spirit manifests gifts in God's people at different times for different reasons so that they can accomplish some sort of task. So for my part, I think that tongues is still an accessible gift of the church. On the other hand, I think that it can also be an abused gift. I think that it can be misunderstood and it can be misused, and people even with the best heart, I believe, can still mishandle the gift of tongues. And so we have to be careful when we are arguing from a biblical perspective about the use of tongues. But I believe that that gift is still accessible to us and the Spirit can still choose to distribute that to us. But I digress. Unfortunately, Paul doesn't really talk a lot in this passage about each of these gifts. He doesn't go into detail about what they mean or how they are used. So rather than spending much time talking about each individual gift, I want us to look and see if there is some reason that Paul gives for why the Spirit gives us these gifts. I think we get the answer in a couple of bookend verses in that same passage we just read, 7 to 11. I think verse 7 and 11 help us to understand why these gifts are given to God's people. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And verse 11 says, all these are at work all these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Growing up at Christmas, I don't know how you do it in your house, but at our house, sometimes we would have one sibling who would pass out the gifts from under the tree. And so we would all sit down, and that sibling would go and pass out the gifts. Now, sometimes this sibling was a little too young to read, and so mom or dad would have to say, oh, that one's Joel's, that one's Lee's. And they would direct the distribution of the gifts. I think Paul is saying here that the Holy Spirit acts in that way when it comes to the gifts. To each one, the Spirit is manifested. And he, according to verse 11, distributes them to each one just as he determines. There's a saying, God equips the called. He doesn't necessarily call the equipped. There is work for us to do in God's kingdom, and he will equip us for those works of service. Verse 7 gives us this reason for the spiritual gifts. They are for the common good. Each one of us has a gift for the good of others. So now that we've kind of established this idea that the Spirit gives us some sort of gift because it has been manifest within us, according to verse 7, and that the Spirit distributes gifts to us, I think we need to turn our attention to ourselves. Because if that is a reality, then I'd have to venture to say that it's sometimes hard to function in those gifts. And how can we be obedient to follow the Spirit's guidance? Today, I suppose that there might be two different types of people in our congregation. There are those with obvious gifts that are obvious to them and obvious to those around them. And then there are those of us with less than obvious gifts that for whatever reason, we haven't been given opportunities to use our gifts in the church. They exist, but we haven't accessed them necessarily. So let me talk to both groups. Let's talk to the first group first. You are someone who God has been gracious to put an obvious talent inside of, that you have been given a passion. Maybe it's something that you've explored from a young age, whether it is teaching or cooking or singing or playing an instrument. God has given you a gift that is obvious and it's easy for you to use around the people that you know. I've been really blessed with a passion for music, for instance. It's something that propelled me not just into college, where I got my undergrad with a music performance degree, but also into ministry. Some of you may know that I started here as the contemporary worship leader back in 2017. But I was thinking the other day about how easy it would be for me to take credit away from the Holy Spirit for the gift that he has given to me, claiming those accomplishments for my own. And so I think if you're one of those people with an obvious gift, we have to be on guard for the sin of pride, that you and I don't think too much of ourselves and that we fight this sin by recognizing the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I think sometimes part of being a Christian is just actually recognizing God's work. Sometimes it's so easy to get bogged down with whatever we've got going on that we don't take time to see God where he is at work. And only with that in mind can we prevent ourselves from taking glory away from God. The second group of people who have less obvious gifts. These are people who don't feel particularly skilled in anything. Giftings in this sense, you might even read this passage and say, I don't see any gifts in this passage that relate to me. Let me ease your mind. I actually don't think this is an exhaustive list, first of all. But I do think that it is up to us to explore our gifts. If that's you, I would implore you to explore your gifts. Verse 7 says, each one of us has had the Spirit manifested inside of us, which means that you have access to some kind of gift. Have you been looking for where God has been at work in your life? My challenge is to take a season and serve anywhere. Serve in children's ministry, open your home up to a small group, teach a Sunday school class. Come on, beach retreat with the youth group, you know? Tough crowd. Do something, okay? Serve in some way. I do have to say, though, when you do that, it's possible you really don't like whatever it is you're going to do. You might not like being with the children. You might not like teaching a Sunday school class. You might not like people in your home. But you know what? That's okay. You're being obedient. You're being faithful to explore the gifts that God has given to you. Now, all of us have to fight the temptation of ignoring our gifts altogether. It might be that you have an obvious gift, like playing an instrument or teaching, and you're not using it. And it might be that you don't know what your gift is, and so rather than exploring it, you're just going to leave that to the people with the obvious gifts. But whether your gift is obvious or not, this passage is clear that you have been given a gift for the good of others. Not even just people in your church. It says the common good. Your giftings are for your neighbors and your coworkers and your children. Everyone benefits from the work of the Spirit because we are now co-workers in the divine program. Again, don't get scared at this prospect because it could be daunting to think that if we were on our own, this would be a really tough thing, and it would be. But Paul continues in his passage to remind us of something. Verse 12 and 13. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Paul makes this analogy between the human body and the body of Christ, that the human body has different parts, arms and legs and ears and eyes, and the body of Christ has different parts as well. Me and you and you and you and you and you and you and you. And all of us have different and unique functions. And if we were missing any of those parts, we would not be able to complete the work that God has set before us. Becoming one is only possible through the work of the Holy Spirit. And this moment of conversion is so drastic, and you have such an encounter with the Holy Spirit that Paul likens it to an immersion, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. We go in with filthy rags and we come out with clean clothes. We go in as an outcast, as a rebel, as a sinner, as an orphan, and we come out a child of God with a family. You and I enter as different people with different backgrounds, and we come out unified in Christ. What a wonderful paradox, unity in diversity. Moving with this purpose to make Christ known. Your gifts picking up where mine falls short. My gifts picking up the slack in that area. Hers in this one. Moving with a fluid motion towards a deeper relationship with God. This kind of community sounds idyllic, but it's possible. The Holy Spirit has already empowered us with gifts. All we have to do is respond in obedience. What kind of witness could we bring to Mountain Brook if we were faithful to explore our gifts? What kind of community would this be if all of us began to move as one? The Holy Spirit has reunited us with God. He has united us with each other. And He has empowered us with spiritual gifts for the good of others. Will you be faithful to explore your gifts? Will you pray with me this morning? Lord, thank you so much for the power of your Holy Spirit at work in our lives. I pray that you will help us to sense those areas where we might be able to be more faithful, to use the gifts that you have given to us. Father, not just to sit on the bench, but to be a part of the work that you are doing. Thank you for this congregation, for this community. I pray that you will help to make us one even now. It's in your Son's name. Everybody pray. Amen. This morning, if you would like to make a decision of faith, or if you just need prayer, or you would like to join the church, I am up here. Please come if that is you. Otherwise, we are going to stand now and sing from our hymnal, hymn 272, "They'll Know We Are Christians."